This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we start today actually in Geneva, where world health leaders have a message for all of us.
When the next pandemic comes knocking, and it will, we must be ready to answer decisively, collectively, and equitably.
That was Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, Director General of the World Health Organization, issuing a warning at the 78th World Health Assembly meeting this week. 76th. Dr. Nahid Bhadelia is back in Boston at the Ready Now. She joined the White House COVID-19 response team last year as the senior policy advisor for global COVID response. With the public health emergency over, she's now back home at Boston University to lead the Center for Emerging Infectious Disease Policy and Research, which she founded in 2021. Dr. Bhadelia, welcome home and welcome to Studio 2.
Tiziana, thank you for having me.
All right, so I want to be really honest with you. He starts by invoking the threat of an even deadlier virus than this "and it will" thing. When I read that and saw that at like 5:30 this morning, my initial reaction was actually sort of, shut up. And, you know, if we have this kind of collective fatigue response, how can we be ready?
Yeah, thanks for that. It's interesting for me. I think we were just talking before the show started. I was involved in the 2013-2016 Ebola virus disease epidemic. And at the end of that epidemic, there was a report from the National Academy of Medicine that talked about how, you know, we go through these cycles of panic and neglect. And we're now, unfortunately, getting to a point where, as we're seeing potentially the cases recede, the hospitalizations decrease, that we could potentially forget. You know, this amnesia, the collective amnesia could set in.
And how could we forget what just happened to us?
I think that because there are always going to be competing priorities. And even through the pandemic, I mean, the marginal cost to other public health efforts, to the impact on the individual for the economics, I think, and it's the exhaustion that you talked about. But I think that this is the moment, you know, that we put down the lessons learned. This is the moment that we realize that we have to do the work in the peacetime so that when the new threat comes. And it's an odd job that I do, Tiziana, right? Pandemic preparedness, because when there is no threat, people say, well, there's so many, why do we need this funding? There's so many other competing priorities. And when there is a threat present, people look at you and say, well, why didn't you prevent this, right? And this is the moment, I think, to remind people is that we need to keep the foot on the pedal for that readiness.
All right, so you said this is the moment that we put down the lessons learned. This is the moment that we do the work. So first, what does it mean to put down the lessons learned? And are we doing it? Is your center doing it? Who's doing it?
Yeah, I don't think it can be one particular group. Governments, it has to be us individuals. It has to be the private sector. You know, what were the policies? What were the behaviors that we did that kept us safe? What were the things that we have to remember when a new threat comes in? So who's doing this? Right now, as you mentioned, the World Health Assembly is looking at a couple of different things. One is how do we put down the capacity, right? So what we've learned, you know, after the pandemic is that when you have ready-made tools, vaccines, therapeutics that you could take off the shelf and potentially test for their efficacy, that you're going to be faster in terms of response. The other thing that we've learned is that to get to a point where we can reduce the impact on the rest of the world, we have to have an equitable response. And those are the themes that are being discussed at the World Health Assembly. And the other thing that's being discussed is, you know, how do we improve our surveillance? How do we improve our workforce, healthcare workforce that's been affected heavily out of this pandemic? And so it's not any one group, but certainly centers like mine. Our work is to try to continue to build that resilience. Our work is to not fall into, be the place where we don't fall into this neglect and continue to do the hard work during the peacetime.
So it's a hefty list that you just laid out. I totally believe you and understand that everything on that list is important. I also know that in every aspect of sort of business and nonprofits and everywhere else, one of the concepts we've learned from medicine is the concept of triage, that we can't do everything at once and the bleeding has to stop first. So on that list, as we're triaging, what's the most important work that needs to get done now first, right? Or at least sort of at the front of the line starting now.
So there are a couple of efforts that are already underway, which I think are doing that triage that you talked about. One is building capacity in low and middle income countries for surveillance. We need to have our detection ability to detect threats early if we want to be faster next time, right? You could say one of the biggest, we were faster, but we could have been so much faster, is that we
meaning
need to
we
have,
were faster than 10 years ago.
That's right, 15 okay. years ago. I think globally we have gotten better at detecting pathogens, but we're nowhere near where we need to be to meet sort of the goals of something called a 100-day mission, which has now been floated as an idea of how governments can come together to potentially respond within 100 days of a new pathogen appearing, right? So some of those that triage is working on surveillance, figuring out how we have ability to identify new pathogens quickly. And the Pandemic Fund is one such effort from World Bank that's meant to sort of build the capacity by investing in low-income areas where there might not be that capacity. The second work that's being done is that was actually just announced at the World Health Assembly is the International Pathogen Surveillance Network, which will build exactly that types of surveillance.
So we're speaking with Dr. Nahid Bhadelia, who is founder and the current director of BU's Center for Emerging Infectious Diseases Policy and Research, just back from a couple of years just back from the Biden administration. I want to deliberately jump back and forth from some of the global conversation we're having to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, right? So you're at Boston University. The Biden administration actually pulled a number of really talented physicians from the Boston ecosystem. You know, Rochelle Walensky, who's stepping down from the CDC. We've got Dr. Ashish Jha, under whom you worked, used to do Ask the Doctors for us here, as actually did Dr. Walensky at one point. People coming back will come back. There's a flow of brain talent and learning back and forth between the Boston medical community. You would think that we'd be like ready on steroids in Massachusetts, and yet I'm not sure that that's true. So what's your sense of how ready we are, how well we've documented, how well we've done the work here in the Commonwealth now that you're back?
So I'm going to take a global view and then a national view, right? I think that I will always say that we could have done better. That is always my stance, because as a physician, you can never be satisfied until you can, you know, do the best for your patients. But we've actually done, in the grand scale of things, the state of Massachusetts has actually done pretty well. If you look at a survey by Commonwealth Fund in 2022, which compared the healthcare system's response nationally among states, Hawaii and Massachusetts ranked at the very top in terms of access to care, in terms of equity, in terms of usage of services. And that's saying something. Again, we could always do better. And we've actually been a marker ahead of the crowd when it comes to things like using wastewater and other, you know, innovative solutions that keep us more aware of the situation.
And when you say wastewater, just for listeners, you mean when we began to track COVID levels in wastewater as our best indicator of what was coming and how sick we might be about to be.
That's correct. And that remains still critically important, because as people are testing more at home, as, you know, testing may be less frequent than it was before, the wastewater is going to be an important tool.
I'm sorry. I just stopped you to explain. Keep on with your thoughts about Massachusetts.
Yes. Yeah. I think from that perspective, we've done pretty well. I think that, you know, we can always do better in ensuring that access to, for example, resources for long COVID could be better. We could always do better as we now transition from a public health emergency to ensure that, you know, access to care for vulnerable populations continues to be where it should be. You know, again, I'm going to mention what I mentioned at the very beginning of the show. I think the number one lesson that I've had in like 20-something years of working on outbreaks is that, you know, equity is a requirement. It's not something you do as an afterthought, because when it comes to communicable diseases, being equitable in ability to prevent them actually protects all of us.
So let's talk more about that. Both the being equitable protects all of us and the in 20 years of doing this. Not everybody will necessarily realize, you know, another big moment in your career, 2014, 2015, you're back and forth to Sierra Leone, Ebola outbreak, you're working in West Africa. That must have been incredibly informative to both your personal response to the pandemic and then your work in the Biden administration and your founding of this center in 2021. So connect those dots and sort of use that experience to tell me us about this growth over the last 10 years and what it teaches you about what we need in the growth over the next 10 years or so.
Yeah, and I wrote an article for NPR at the end of that epidemic about the lessons learned from the Ebola epidemic and what will we take forward. And I actually went back this morning because I knew we were going to have this conversation. And what I said in that article is that we cannot be a society that jumps from outbreak response to outbreak response, you know, and I think if I were to start from your last question first, of the biggest lessons learned is the one that I started at the very beginning, is that we need to continue to work on that research, on that capacity strengthening, on that improving equity to access during peacetime if we want to respond better to the pandemic. So what was the arc? I think the Ebola response more than any other in my life shaped who I am as a physician. I had the opportunity to take care of hundreds of Ebola patients in a crisis situation where there was just never enough resources present. And the lesson that I've learned is that the resources always appear too late. When you are governing, you may think that you're making an impact, but by the time that impact rolls down to the community, it is always later than you think. And it can have devastating impacts on communities. So, you know, working in the Biden administration, the difference for me, I mean, I took that lesson into everything that I've done. And the difference, right? I've consulted for governments and been an advisor over the course of my career, but this was the first time that I was in government full time. And the thing that blew me away was the scale of impact. That was the one difference between my prior response versus the involvement in government now.
Meaning because you had the power of the United States government?
Well, when you're a physician, right, you want to make an impact hopefully in hundreds or thousands of patients' lives over the course of your career. When you're in public health, maybe you make an impact in 100,000 lives. When you're in government and affecting public health policy, you have the potential to impact the lives of millions or billions. And I never was there a day that I didn't walk onto the White House complex where I did not feel the awesomeness of that responsibility. And that was something that was different. And the other thing that I think that I discovered from that experience is that just as I had learned that lesson from the Ebola virus disease outbreak or epidemic of a decade ago, there are myriads of government scientists and public health researchers that have been working on this and have brought those lessons forth. And that, you know, may not seem like it from the outside, but those folks have been working internally to try to make a difference for a long period of time as well.
We're speaking with Dr. Naheed Bhadelia, who is founder and, again, director of Boston University's Center for Emerging Infectious Diseases Policy and Research. And I want to come back there. So 2021, founding of that center, with an incredible legacy of learning and the power of that learning from having been part of a massive pandemic response in West Africa. Now you, right, had the importance of public health for millions, potentially billions of people. So now you come back to this center. What are you imagining or thinking about or thinking that you can bring to it or execute on it or must do all of those things, right? When you sit at that desk that you sat at before, now.
Yeah. So in the interim, the prior 10 years, the other big thing that I did here in Massachusetts is that I ran a patient biocontainment care unit, a specialized unit at Boston Medical Center designed for patients who might have highly communicable diseases.
So let me understand this. A unit where patients who might have communicable diseases are being treated and contained.
And cared for in a safe way, yeah. With safety of healthcare workers. And I did that here as well as in Uganda. And so coming into that center, what I was bringing in and what the center's mission is, the Boston University Center for Emerging Infectious Diseases Policy and Research, is to build resilience against epidemic. And we do that by linking technical knowledge, that deep, you know, depth of bench in terms of what happens on the front lines, you know, how do policies play out, to affect answers to policy questions related to emerging infectious diseases. And we do that specifically through public health and research, public health and policy research. We do that through capacity strengthening. We have programs in Liberia, as I mentioned, the program in Uganda. We do that through advocacy, and we do that by providing support to policymakers when they ask us about questions like, you know, what will the world look like with the burden of long COVID that we're going to experience? What will that look like in terms of disability, in terms of ability to work, you know, and what does that mean in terms of setting up policies? And those are some of the things that we've contributed to in the past.
interesting. Just a story on All Things Considered this week about the challenges of keeping long-term disability insurance coverage if you have long COVID, given the number of unknowns about what long COVID is. This is the kind of thing you're talking about.
That's right. And, you know, and this was true during the Ebola epidemic as well. People probably don't realize this, but because so many people were affected during the 2013-2016 Ebola virus disease epidemic, we discovered something called post-Ebola virus disease syndrome. The idea that people can continue to have post-viral syndrome is not new. And the difference is that now we've had the whole world now go through, a huge percentage of the world go through a novel infection. And we may discover that the percentage that what might have been a rare occasion in if manifested in a few number of people may be larger than we expected because of the sheer, even the percentage might be small, just because of the sheer number of people, that there might be a post-viral condition that at least for short period of time or potentially in some period, longer period of time, may affect people's health. And that's something that we need to keep our ear to the ground for because it's not new.
Well, as we said at the beginning, we are glad that you are here and at the ready. Dr. Naheed Bhadelia, former senior policy advisor for the White House's Global COVID Response Team, founder and again director of Boston University's Center for Emerging Infectious Diseases Policy and Research. Dr. Bhadelia, welcome back. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.